ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण। I'd like to welcome all the devotees and guests for the Sunday feast program this afternoon. The Sunday feast program is a very wonderful program where devotees congregate together to come together and glorify the holy names of Krishna, to glorify the pastimes of Krishna, to glorify the beautiful form of Krishna, and to glorify the wonderful transcendental qualities of Krishna. In doing so, we get inspired to practice our own Krishna consciousness with great determination and dedication. Bombay is a city of perspiration, and therefore we need a lot of inspiration. Just the way we have to work hard in the world outside, especially devotees who live in the congregation, you know, so much hard work, working in the city, the city life can be so taxing, so pressurizing and so stressing out. But just to come for the Sunday feast program is such a wonderful welcome break. It can be one of the best breaks, and now after the air conditioning is there, thanks to AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, like His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj said, you know, AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's mercy is that we have AC also now. In such a wonderful setting with the air conditioned temple hall, so many hundreds and thousands of devotees, what could be better? When you go around, travel, you see there's a few devotees everywhere, and then when you come back and you see such a flood of Vaishnavas, flood of devotees, it's incredible, absolutely amazing and incredible. Sometimes we can take what we have for granted and lose the value, you know, of how wonderful this program is and how amazing this association is. But when we see places where there's hardly anyone, hardly any devotees, and then when we come back, it's just simply overwhelming to be in such amazing, serious association. This afternoon we shall try and discuss from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour a very, very wonderful pastime that teaches us six powerful lessons. And we will discuss this six lessons through the story. And after discussing the six lessons through the story, we will see how this devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also got six rewards. So there are six lessons, and anyone who wants to follow the six lessons thoroughly also awaits the six rewards from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During his South Indian tour, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Srirangam and resided in Srirangam for 4 months of the Chaturmasya season. The 4 months of the Chaturmasya season are the months where a sannyasi, or a preacher for that matter, does not travel because of the heavy monsoons. He resides in one place. Even in some other religions they call it Chomasa, you know, where the sadhus come and live in one place. And for those 4 months they lecture, they give their association to all their followers, their disciples, or for that matter the public in general. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and since it was the monsoon season, he decided to stay in Srirangam, which is in Tamil Nadu, down south. He lived in the house of a great devotee whose name was Venkata Bhatta. Venkata Bhatta was from the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, the personal head of which is Sripad Ramanujacharya. And later the son of Venkata Bhatta became Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the lead followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those of you who have been to Vrindavan have visited the Radharaman temple, and we know that Sri Radharaman appeared because of the amazing devotional qualities of Sripad Gopal Bhatta Goswami. We also have a Samadhi Mandir right next to the Radharaman Mandir. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Srirangam, he used to come daily to the temple of Lord Ranganath. Lord Ranganath is such a beautiful deity form of the Lord, about 17-18 feet long, lying in a beautiful yoga nidra posture on Anantashesh. incredibly, amazingly sweet and beautiful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to behold the most resplendent countenance of Lord Ranganath. And when he would come into the temple, he would chant and dance in ecstasy in front of the beautiful deity of Lord Ranganath. In that place called Rangakshetra, Kaviraj Goswami explains, Sei Kshetre Rahe Ek Vaishnava Brahman. Sei Kshetre, in that Kshetra, Sri Rangakshetra, called today as Sri Rangam. Sei Kshetre Rahe, Us Kshetra Me Rehta Tha. In that Sri Kshetra, Rangakshetra, there was a Vaishnava Brahman who used to reside. Sei Kshetre Rahe Ek Vaishnava Brahman. And what would this Brahman do? Devalaye Asi. Devalaye Asi. He would come to the Devalaya, to the temple daily. Sanskrit is a very amazing language because it does not just give one word for everything. Just like if you were to call a friend is a friend in English. But if you want to call a friend in Sanskrit, then there is categories like Sakha, Mitra, Surit, and each of these means different. It's not that all of them are the same. There is a difference between a Mitra, a Surit, a Sakha, and that is the beauty of the Sanskrit language. In English you say, my friend. Whether that friend likes you or not, my friend. Whether that friend is a well-wisher or not, my friend. If the friend is a well-wishing friend, then he becomes a Surit. If the friend is an intimate friend, he becomes a Sakha. But there's nothing like that in English. Or you know, in English if you use the word for mercy, then it's mercy or grace and it all means the same. But in Sanskrit there is Daya, there is Kripa, and there is a difference between Daya and Kripa. And therefore it's interesting that when we use the word temple, the temple word comes from the Latin templum. And templum in the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, means an open space. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Templum in Latin means an open space or a consecrated space, a place which is given some sacred status. But the first connotation of the word templum in Latin is an open space. So anytime you know you just talk about temple and it doesn't seem to have too much connection with God, the word. But as soon as we see the Sanskrit language, Devalaya Asi, the very word temple means Devalaya. Alaya means a place. A pub in Sanskrit is called Madiralaya. A place where Madira is available. A library in Sanskrit is called Granthalaya. A place where Granthas are available. A school in Sanskrit is called Vidyalaya. A place where Vidya is available. A restaurant in Sanskrit is called Bhojanalaya. A place where Bhojan is available. And a temple in Sanskrit is called Devalaya. Where? Not Dev Patel. Where Deva is available. Right. The Supreme Lord. Just try to compare and contrast the two words, temple and Devalaya. Whereas temple does not give any straight connotation to God, Devalaya straight away tells us that if you go to a Deva, Devalaya you search for, go looking for Devalaya, Deva. Go to Madiralaya for liquor, you go to Dukkhalaya for Dukkha. Krishna certifies this material world as Dukkhalaya. And therefore Devalaya means a place where one can get direct connection to Deva. And therefore visiting a temple is such an important, crucial principle of a practitioner devotee's life. Sei Kshetre Rahe Eka Vaishnava Brahman. He was not just an ordinary Brahman. This Brahman who was living in Rangakshetra was a Vaishnava Brahman. And what is a Vaishnava Brahman's practice? Devalaya Asi. He would regularly, in fact daily, come to the Devalaya, come to the temple. Why? He knew. A Devalaya, a a temple is a direct portal, a direct connection to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the place where I can make my direct connection with the Lord. And therefore it is important that in a Devalaya, Dev is available and other things are not. Sometimes there are people in the world outside, some so-called spiritual organizations, they start Devalayas, so-called temples, and then say they sell Ayurvedic medicines. I mean, there's no harm selling Ayurvedic medicines, I'm not against or for it. But that's not the purpose of a Devalaya. The purpose of a Devalaya is connection to Deva, connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And therefore, in a Devalaya, it is imperative that Dev is present. If Dev is not present, the structure can be grand, the structure can be magnificent, there can be a beautiful statue, mark the word, but not the Lord. I've told this story before, there was a Shudra, quote unquote, in what the Indian community, in the caste conscious community considers a Shudra. This Shudra, in down South India, he wanted to visit a temple. So as he came to the entrance of the temple, the priest thought, I can't allow the Shudra to come in the temple. So what should I do? He said, look, we don't allow anyone who has not had a Lord's dream to come in the temple. Have you had a Lord's dream? He said, no. He said, so now you go back, sleep tonight. If the Lord comes in your dream and tells you you go in the temple, then I'll allow you entrance. So he said, chalo, aaj to jaan bach gayi. I didn't allow a Shudra to come in. So this man went home. He rested that night, and the next day as he was passing by the temple, he didn't even look at the temple. So the priest called, hey, what happened? The Lord came in your dream. He said, yes. So what did the Lord tell you? He said, the Lord told me, don't go to the temple. So the priest said, hey, come on, how can the Lord give such an instruction, man? How can he say like this? He said, no, the Lord told me, don't go to the temple. He said, why did the Lord say like this? The man said, the Lord came in my dream and told me, last 35 years I have been there, they have not allowed me in. How they will allow you inside? You see? For the last 35 years, there has been my statue. But they didn't allow me to enter in my statue. They don't allow me inside, how they will allow you in? And therefore we should know that there can be a lot of structures, beautiful, massive structures. There can be even beautifully crafted and sculpted murtis. But if Deva is not present, then it is not Devalaya. Devalaya means a place where Deva, the Lord, resides. Srila Prabhupada visited Tirupati, and in Tirupati he met the trustees of Tirupati Tirumala Devasthanam, TTD. You heard of DDT a lot of times, this is TTD. Tirupati Tirumala Devasthanam. And Srila Prabhupada met their people and said, look, so much money is coming by the grace of the Lord. Use it in preaching Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, Balaji will leave and a murti will stay. Then it won't be Devalaya. Now Balaji is there. So this is Devalaya. But if you don't use it to glorify Balaji and use it to propagate his glories, the money that is coming in, then Balaji will leave and murti will stay. Of course, TTD has done a lot. Amazing service. They published so many books to glorify the Lord. They made amazing facilities to stay. So much free prasadam is distributed. So they are glorifying Balaji. And therefore more and more money is coming. Like recently, this man called Gala Janardhan Reddy, he donated for Balaji a golden crown, some like 2.5 feet or something, which weighs 34 kgs with diamonds and all of this stuff, which is rupees 45 crores worth. Right. Just recently. Till now, the most expensive donation that Tirupati Balaji got was 10 crores. The first time in the history of Tirupati Balaji, 2000 years minimum recorded history, the most expensive donation that has come, 45 crores. Pejavar Swami in Udupi once offered one crore worth crown to Udupi Shri Krishna. Right, 1 crore worth. And such a big hue and cry in the country. People are, abusing and shouting swear words and, challenging. How can you spend so much money on a deity? What does this deity do for you? Go and serve the poor people.
But recently when I was in London, I was told that there is this man, very interesting fellow. He is a jewelry designer. His name is Rivin Tirapol Swake. Whatever his name. Interesting. I mean, I had to write it down on a sheet of paper, you know, otherwise I would not be able to pronounce it myself. I had to bring it written on a piece of paper, the name. Rivin Tirapol Swake. He has a pet dog of the Maltese brand. Maltese race, if you heard, Greyhound, German Shepherd, Pomeranian, Poodle, Alsatian, all of these things. This is a Maltese Canyon brand of dog. This dog, this jewelry designer, if you can hold your breath if you like, right, he designed for his dog a crown worth, are you ready? £2.8 million. Which, by the way, comes into Indian rupees approximately about 76 crore Indian rupees. Right. Just in case you think I'm making up a story, I have the picture. Right. There is a tiara, it's called a tiara, this crown, is crafted with diamonds and emeralds. 76 crore Indian rupees for a dog who does not understand what is kept on his head. Right. Isn't it amazing? You put a 45 crore or 1 crore crown on the deity of the Lord, he understands. And not just he understands, he stands there all through to help us in our spiritual lives. When 76 crore rupees are spent for DOG, no one raises a question. When 1 crore rupees are spent for GOD, and there is a big hue and cry in the country. Kyun? Itna paisa kyun? Like Gaurang Prabhu, I remember, he was mentioning in one of his classes, and I also repeated it in a class before, funny thing but interesting, said because they do not do Bhagavat Charcha, therefore they do not understand why we do so much Kharcha for the Archa. You know? Archa Murti. And therefore hearing the glories of the Lord is very, very important, without which we will not understand why we are spending for the Lord. Srila Prabhupada used to say, you know, commonly, I'm surprised how Prabhupada used to do that. In a lecture I had heard Srila Prabhupada saying during our morning dressing session, he's saying, so in our Los Angeles temple we spend like $200,000 American a month, and in our London center we spend like £500,000 a month, and in our San Jose center we spend like $300,000 a month. And so much money, and people, you know, outsider hearing the account balance sheet of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada is speaking openly in a lecture, and the end of the lecture he says, if you use it to serve Krishna, Krishna provides. He said, we don't work, we don't have jobs. The message is not to have jobs. The point is, Srila Prabhupada said, that when you serve Krishna, Krishna gives you more and more and more. And therefore, coming to a devalaya is very, very important. But what do we do in a devalaya is also important. We come to a devalaya and Dev may be there, the Supreme Lord may be there. But what is the next step? Sei kshetre rahe eka vaishnava brahman devalaya asi kori. What he would do in the devalaya? Would he come and talk about the recession? Or he would talk about the procession. What would he do in the devalaya? Devalaya asi kori Gita avartan. Every day he would come, sit in the devalaya and recite all the 700 shlokas of the Gita. If you recite the 700 shlokas of the Gita non-stop, the minimum time that you require, if you don't go at the speed of a fast train, is about 3 hours. 3 to 3.5 hours. This gentleman would come daily in front of Lord Ranganath, sit down in front of Lord Ranganath and Kori Gita Avartan. He would chant the glories of the Lord by reciting the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. And therefore coming to a devalaya means Gita Avartan. Gita Avartan in simplistic terms means glorifying the Lord.
serving the Lord.
He was glorifying the Lord through Gita. One may glorify the Lord through the discussion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One may glorify the Lord by chanting Japa. One may glorify the Lord by chanting Kirtan. But the principle is glorification. Devalaya is meant for glorification. A temple is meant for glorification of the Lord. And therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of the 9 processes of devotional service, said that Shravanam and Kirtanam are the 2 most important processes. Right. So here was this Brahman coming and chanting glories of the Lord in the temple. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu in his class once was saying, a lot of people today, especially in India, treat the Lord and His deity like a bellboy. You know, in America, a waiter is called a bellboy. It's an interesting term. It's called a bellboy because once you place the order from the menu card, if it doesn't come, 1 hour is gone, then you can ring the bell and demand, come on, I have placed the order, what's happening to you? It's getting late, bring the order quick. It's called a bellboy. So Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was saying that many people, especially in this country of India, treat the Lord as a bellboy. They come, they read on the menu card what all is available, dhanam, putram, jobam, distinctionam, all kinds of things are big list on the menu card. Then they come, they'll put 10 paisa. Of course, no, 10 paisa doesn't exist now. I don't know if 50 paisa still exists, coin. The minimum that they can put, they'll put in the hundi, thinking they have favored the Lord. They have paid their bill, you know, to buy what is on the menu card. And then they place the order and they realize order has not come. Then they come and ring the bell in the temple, bellboy. You know, why our order has not come yet? Therefore, when they come to ISKCON temples, they are surprised. There is no bell anywhere. You know, there's many ISKCON temples have, but our temple doesn't have a bell. So a lot of people are confused. Ghanti kidare? Where is the bell, you know? We want to ring the bell. We have placed the order last week. The order has not been supplied yet. And therefore they treat the Lord as a bellboy. Order has been placed. Now please supply our order. Right. Srila Prabhupada said, in this age of Kali Yuga, bells are good, they are not bad. But Srila Prabhupada said, what is a better bell? Srila Prabhupada said, the mouth is like the conical structure of the bell. The tongue inside is like the clapper. The structure hanging is called a clapper, which goes back and forth to ring. And the sound that comes when this clapper moves in this conical structure of the mouth is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That is the bell that should be rung most in Kali Yuga. And therefore, Devalaya is not meant to simply come and ring bell and put 50 paisa in 1 peda and say, Mera beda par kar do Prabhu. That's not what it is meant for. It is meant to come and glorify the Lord with this bell. When we chant Hare Krishna, when we recite the Gita verses, when we recite the Bhagavat verses, and most important of all, if we live by it, Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapaha Uchyate. Swadhyaya, recitation of the Vedic literatures, and living by them is called Vangmay Tap, austerity of speech. And human life is meant for austerity. Tapo Divyam Putraka. Therefore it is not bad to do this austerity of glorifying the Lord in the temple. Devalay Asi Kori Gita Avartan. On the other hand, we find when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Kurma Kshetra, there was this Kurma Brahman who called Lord Chaitanya to his house for prasad. When he came to his house, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting, he offered Arghya Padya and washed his feet, took the water, sprinkled it on everyone, offered prasad to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then took the remnants. And then sat and inquired from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, this waves of material existence are troubling me like hell. Please, allow me to leave family. Allow me to leave home. Allow me to leave my job, responsibilities. Anyways, the economic crunch is very strong. Let me leave and come with you, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Aiche baat kabuna kahibe. Do not ever say like this. again. He said, you stay in your house, chant the holy name, and then make your home into a devalaya. Coming to a devalaya is one thing. But Srila Prabhupada was so amazing that he turned practically every home into a devalaya. By allowing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come into the home, what Kurma Brahman got 512 years back, or 521, whatever years back, same opportunity is available to every person on the planet. Like Kurma Brahman invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come in his house, every Grihastha can invite Sri Sri Gaur Nithai to come in their house in the form of the deities. Just like the Kurma Brahman washed the lotus feet of the Lord and drank the Charanamrita, every Grihastha, every day practically has the opportunity to bathe Gaur Nithai and take that Charanamrita. Just like the Kurma Brahmana offered the food to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then took the remnants. Similarly, every Grihastha has the opportunity to offer food to Sri Sri Gaur Nithai in the house and take Mahaprasadam. Just like the Kurma Brahman got to hear the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly every Grihastha, for that matter every person, has the opportunity to listen to the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the books of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Through Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, through the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can listen to the same words that Kurma Brahman heard. And therefore, one gets the opportunity to turn the house also into a devalaya. Because this Brahmana could go to Srirangakshetra temple every day, but in a city like Mumbai, devotees from Mira Road, Bhayandar, Nala, Sopara, if they start coming to the devalaya every day, you know what that means, the boss, what will he do? How will you do a daily job? And therefore it is important to learn how to turn the house also into a devalaya. I remember when I was a child, there was a very famous Bollywood movie. I didn't remember seeing it, but I do remember the title, Ghar Ek Mandir. You know, it was a very popular title, movie title, Ghar Ek Mandir. Transforming the house into a mandir, transforming the house into devalaya. And what does that mean? Gita Avartan. Glorification of the Lord and service to the Lord. For the first lesson from the story of the South Indian Brahmana in Srirangakshetra is, the purpose of a temple is glorification of the Lord and service to the Lord. And one can turn one's house also into a temple by glorifying and serving Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. Like the Kurma Brahman invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his house. But the problem is, just like a lake will after a while dry up because all the people around consume the water of the lake. Similarly, the strength, our own spiritual strength and the vibrations in the devalaya that we create in the house may die down also. Therefore, the lake has to be always connected to a river. And when the fresh water of the river flows in, then the water supply is maintained. Similarly, the individual devalayas in the Hare Krishna movement, which means the homes of our devotees, can only remain devalayas when they are connected to the main devalaya that Srila Prabhupada created. The main ISKCON temples where we come, hear, chant, associate with each other and go back rejuvenated. You know, our convictions refurbished. Our energy once again reinstated. We go back to our homes to worship Sri Sri Gaur Nithai with extra fervor, with extra zeal, with extra enthusiasm, with extra sincerity. And thus this Sunday feast program is so crucial and important. This is one day where we get to come together, where we can all come together, associate with each other, hear and feel inspired to regularly come to the devalaya, so that the individual devalayas that we have back home, at our homes, continue to remain devalaya. Kaviraj Goswami continues, Ashtadasha adhyaya pade, ananda aveshe. Ashtadasha, 18 chapters of the Gita. I asked one Indian student once, do you know how many chapters of the Gita are there? He said 19. I was surprised. This was too much to expect from an Indian person, you know. He said 19 chapters of the Gita. You know, like our Narayan Prabhu in the gift shop sometimes says, you know, he always jokes with the devotees, I will write the 19th chapter of the Gita. He's always, he's very humorous sometimes. ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯ ಪಡೆ ಆನಂದ ಅವೇಶೆ. ಹೌ ಮೆನಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ರೆಡ್ ದ ಗೀತಾ ಫುಲ್ಲಿ? ಮೇ ಬಿ ಅ ಫ್ಯೂ. ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅಟ್ ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ಬ್ರೌಸ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಇಟ್. ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಯು ರೀಡ್ ದ ಗೀತಾ ಮೇಕ್ಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಸ್ಪಿನ್ ಅಟ್ 3600 ಆರ್ ಪಿ ಎಂ, ರೆವಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ಸ್ ಪರ್ ಮಿನಿಟ್. ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಸೀಸ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ಇನ್ ಇನ್ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ಇನ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಸೀಸ್. And one time one devotee came to me and said, tell me what to see, action or inaction? Don't say action in inaction, inaction in action. You know, my head is already confused in this world. Why are you confusing me more? You know, there is no anand in reading Gita easily, honestly speaking. You know, as soon as Gita class starts, everyone is waiting when the next story will come. Tell story. Don't discuss this complex action, inaction, doer, no doer. My God. But this Brahman, Ashtadasha Pagadhyaya Pade Ananda Aveshe. He was reading in great ecstasy. How was he reading? Ashuddha Padena. Ashuddha Padena. Shuddha Padena means pronouncing rightly. Ashuddha Padena means he wasn't able to pronounce the Gita rightly. And therefore, all the people around him, Ashuddha Padena Loka Kore Upahase. Kore Upahase. Sab log is Brahman ka upahas kar rahe the. Arthat, uska mazak uda rahe the. They were joking. They were criticizing. They were objecting. They were opposing when this Brahmana was chanting these verses. And therefore, in India, sometimes, you know, people can be so caught up by the pronunciation of the words that they just can't see what the spirit is. Expert pronunciation, what is the use? Srila Prabhupada went to Jaipur and his disciple Mother Kausalya, she was with him, many devotees. And one day there were several scholars sitting in that conference, and Srila Prabhupada said to Mother Kausalya, you come and sit on the stage. And he said to people, this disciple of mine, she is an American girl, but she knows the Ishopanishad shlokas by heart. And Mother Kausalya missed the heartbeat. Because although there are about 19 shlokas in the Ishopanishad, she only knew 6. So Prabhupada said, now you chant on stage. And she began, you know, Om Purnamada Purnamidam, where she was thinking. Singing Om Purnamada Purnamidam, she was thinking, I hope my chanting doesn't become apurna, you know, in the course of my reciting these verses. And she was praying, please, please Krishna help me. And as she came to the 6th verse, Prabhupada said, Kausalya, enough. Srila Prabhupada said, Kausalya, that is enough, you know. And he said, just see. Even my American disciples, they know the Vedic literature. This is Upanishad, Ishopanishad. They know it so well. And then one Indian complained, but Swamiji, your disciples, their pronunciation of the shlokas is horrible. Ashuddha padena, loka kare upahase. So history repeats itself, you know. What South Indian Brahmana went through, the same thing happened in Jaipur. Said, your Swamiji, your disciples, their pronunciation is horrible. Srila Prabhupada paused. And he said, their pronunciation is horrible, but their renunciation is excellent. They don't have the pronunciation, but look at their renunciation. They quit all the wrong things that people outside do. You know, like in the South Indian temple I used to go before I came to the Hare Krishna movement, myself, my parents and all of us, every Chaturthi, we would go to this place and my father, you know, he would sponsor a Ganesh Homa. Quite an interesting thing, Ganesh Homa, chanting all kinds of mantra, gives you a hype, you know, feeling, you definitely feel kuch to ho raha hai, chanting Hare Krishna, feel what's happening, nothing's happening, but when ghee is gone and swaha swaha is chanted, then you feel something is going somewhere, right? By chanting Hare Krishna, I don't know if anything is going, it feels like great, you know, so he was pouring all these things, and I remember that while doing the Ganesh Home, he took a ship matches, ship, I don't know if it's still available, ship brand, carburized matches, ship. So he took a ship matchbox and lit it, the matchstick, and he had Ganesh BD. Yeah. So he took that matchstick, lit up the Ganesh bidi, and with the same matchstick he lit the fire in the Ganesh Homa. Right. And when he chanted those verses, it was incredible, isn't it? The pronunciations were so pakka, the meters and rhythms were also pakka. But where was the renunciation? Can't give up Ganesh bidi before the Ganesh Homa. And here are hippies from America. We shouldn't even use that word for them actually. It kind of sounds a little so gross and strong, but just to make the point, you know, so-called hippies outside there doing so many nonsensical things. Prabhupada came, gave them the Hare Krishna mantra. So many couldn't even pronounce rightly, and they were saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Right. They were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So what, hair will come on their head? Or a hare, a tortoise will come in their life? They didn't have proper pronunciation, but look at their renunciation. And gave up all the nonsensical things, wrong habits, and committed their life to the process of Krishna consciousness. We are not against anything. Right. I am not saying that pronunciation should be wrong. If we can pronounce rightly, why not pronounce rightly? But if we can't pronounce rightly, that's not a disqualification. Like they say in English, you know, man sees the lips, God sees the heart. And therefore he is Bhavagrahi Janardana. He does not see how we chant and pronounce these verses. Like in China, Narasimha Maharaj, he says that the Chinese cannot pronounce Ra. There is no Ra in their entire alphabet list. So instead of Rama, they chant Lama. So do you think a Buddhist Lama will come to meet them? No. Because they said Lama, will a Lama come? No, Rama only will come. Krishna only will come to give them darshan. Because we see the lips. Krishna sees the heart. Ashuddha padena loka kore upahase. And we should remember, as soon as we take to Krishna consciousness seriously, upahas bound to come. If anyone thinks that I will take to Krishna consciousness and this South Indian Brahman may be criticized, objected, opposed, but no one is going to oppose me. Krishna is very kind to me. I am very sincere devotee, so no opposition will come, no difficulty will come, no trouble will come in my life. It's a utopian dream. Because as soon as we take Krishna consciousness seriously, Devalaya Asekari Gita Avartan, if it starts, Upahas comes as the next step. As soon as we start coming to the Hare Krishna temple and start taking the process of glorification of the Lord seriously, Upahas is bound to come. And we can expect it. Following the storyline. And once again I say, history always repeats itself. You know. And therefore, there is always Upahas coming from so many people. General public around. How many times I've told that story, you know, I was going in VJTI campus and these two guys walking said, Kya Maharaj, Dammarodam, Kidare Ganjaj? Straight on my face. This upahas, criticism, objection, opposition, not surprising. South Indian Brahmana, all people around, what are you pronouncing? You're wrong, this is not right. People will come, they don't know what is wrong and right, but they definitely come and tell you are wrong. Whether you're right or wrong. You know? Family members opposing, is it a new thing? Every time someone takes to Krishna consciousness, how the family gets so upset and worried? And the first worry is he'll become brahmachari. Always scared. Hare Krishna means, and they see Hare Krishna means always educated fellows become brahmachari. So they are very much worried, what will happen to me, they'll become brahmachari. This Sunday feast, so many grace stars, they can't see. Can't they see? If they just come for a Sunday feast program and see what is the ratio. Just see the ratio. How many people live in the renounced order of life? How many people are brahmacharis, sannyasis in the whole Hare Krishna movement? Not even 1%. Out of the entire population of the Hare Krishna devotees, not even 1% is brahmacharis and grihasthas. Brahmacharis and sannyasis. 99% is grihasthas. Still they will come and say, Arey, oh, sadhu ban jayega to mera kya ho? Come and see. Come and see. Is this sadhu? Are this brahmacharis sitting here? Some are, many are, all are Grihastha Brahmachari. Some are Brahmachari, some are Grihastha Brahmachari, like Prabhupada termed. But always criticism, opposition coming from family. Is it a new thing? Husband is devotee, wife is scared. Right. Wife is devotee, husband is scared. Both are devotees, children are scared.
isn't it? Whole family is devotee, relatives are scared. Relatives become devotee, community is scared. And if a community is devotee, then the government is scared. They're taking over. In a country, in the Western world, I think Shyamananda Prabhu told this story, I can't remember who told, but very interesting stories I like to share. Our Hare Krishna temple was next to a nunnery. You know what a nunnery is? Where nuns live. You know, like a nun brahmacharini ashram. It's like a brahmacharini ashram in the Christian world. Nunnery. So there were nuns living there. Hare Krishna temple just close by, so their kirtan used to disturb them. You know, they chant peaceful prayers. But when they sing their choirs, that is louder than our kirtan, you know. Anyone has ever attended a choir in a church? If you have, you know what it is. It's massive. Huge sound. More than our kirtans. So loud it is. Anyways, they went and filed a court case against Hare Krishnas. If not family friends, then there is someone to oppose. Government. I mean the nuns, other religions. These nuns came, you know, and filed a suit. We will not allow this Hare Krishna temple to remain in the city. And what was the court case? What was the allegation? Allegation was their God married 16,000 wives. So if we allow this religion to spread, that means everyone will take license and say, why not 16 at least? He can marry 16,000, 11,16. There will be anarchy in the country. And therefore these people should be kicked out. You know. So the devotees were fighting this court case against the nuns. On the hearing day both were there. And the judge asked the devotees, do you have anything to say? The devotees said anything. Then the judge was quite intelligent. He asked the nuns, the head nun, what is the vow that you take at the time, you know, you become a monk, I mean a nun? She said, when we become a nun, we take a vow that we are married to Jesus Christ. So the judge said, how many nuns are there in the world? You know? And he said, at least 20,000, 30,000. That means your Jesus has more wives than Krishna. Because your Jesus, you say that you get married to Jesus when you take this vow. So every nun is married. So he's like 20,000, 30,000. Hare Krishna has only 16,000. So the judge said, we will allow Hare Krishna to stay. And probably you should leave. Then the nun said, no, both will stay. You know, peacefully we can have a win-win solution, compromise. Of course, Jesus never got married in the literal sense. But this was the argument used by the judge. Religions oppose. Government supports Kazakhstan. What a heavy thing they did to our temples there. And in London, our devotees in the Bhaktivedanta manor at that time were protesting like anything. In England itself, Bhaktivedanta manor, the entry to the temple was stopped. You can read that article in the Back to Godhead magazine, you know. And what a powerful story how devotees campaigned and finally convinced the British Council to give permission to build around, because 70,000 people to 1 lakh people come for Janmashtami at Bhaktivedanta Manor, London. And if there's no proper route, no one comes walking, everyone comes by car. So there has to be a parking lot, there has to be a proper access to the temple. But governments oppose, and if no one opposes, no one does upahas, then our mind and senses opposes. We take to Krishna consciousness seriously, the mind and senses are definitely there to create trouble. And many times we feel, you know what's happening, nothing is happening in life. I've chanted so many rounds, so many years, taken so much prasad. If you just count the prasad we have eaten, it must be in, you know, in so many hundreds of kilos till now. We've taken in. What's happening in life? The mind and the senses can also be very rebellious and create upahas, joke with us, criticism, objection, opposition. But we should know, one of the qualities of Krishna is, Krishna is Baliyan, Rupa Goswami explains. It's powerful. Powerful means he's the strongest, he's the toughest, and he's the biggest. I mean, this can go on for another 1 hour describing these three qualities. Toughest, biggest, strongest. But just to suffice to know that he is the most powerful. So many examples how Krishna dealt, you know, with these demons by his power. And Manidhi Maharaj explains that anyone who chants Hare Krishna, he's connecting to the powerhouse, Baliyan. Krishna. Just like a bulb is connected to the powerhouse. And all the power to the bulb comes from the powerhouse. Anyone who is connected to the powerhouse, Baliyan Krishna. Therefore Krishna in the Gita says, Balam Balavatam Chaham. I am the strength of the able men. Right. Ability in man, strength of the strong. I give the power. And Manidhi Maharaj explains that by chanting the holy name, Krishna, through the holy name, gives us three powers. Right. Knowledge power, will power, and love power. Knowledge power, by chanting Hare Krishna, we get discrimination, knowledge power to control our senses. By chanting Hare Krishna, we get will power to control our mind. And by chanting Hare Krishna, we get love power which attracts our heart. And therefore, there may be a lot of opposition from the mind, the senses, doesn't matter. But if we are connecting to the Baliyan Krishna, the all-powerful Krishna, we get knowledge power, will power, and love power to deal with this upahas. Keho haase, keho ninde, taha nahi mane, avisht hoye Gita pade, anandi tamane. The second lesson is, when we take to Krishna consciousness, there will always be upahas. Opposition, criticism, doesn't matter. It's a part of the ball game. It'll come along, package deal. You can't have Krishna consciousness and no upahas. It comes as a package deal. How did this Brahmana deal with it? How did he deal with this criticism, this joking, this laughter, this upahas? Kaviraj Goswami explains. Keho hase. Some of the Brahmanas were laughing. Hey, look at him, you know, he doesn't even know how to pronounce rightly. Keho ninde. Some of them were criticizing him. Ponga Pandit. You know, doesn't know how to read the Gita properly. Taha nahi mane. He didn't pay any attention to it. How? How could he transcend this thing? Avishta hoya Gita pade. He was totally absorbed in reading the Gita. And therefore, unless one is absorbed, one can never transcend what is around him. The Brahmana was sitting right in the middle of the people who were criticizing him, making fun of him, joking at him, mocking him, laughing at him. But because he was totally absorbed in reading the words of the Gita, he was able to transcend keho hase, keho ninde, taha nahi mane. Nahi maan raha tha, dhyan bhi nahi de rahe the Brahman unke prati. Not giving any attention. But how? Avishta hoya. Because of absorption. And absorption is such a powerful principle that even in the world outside, by absorption, people become transcendental, so-called, materially. In New York, they had this 100-storied residential building. So, somehow the lift had become very slow, you know. So, all the people were coming and complaining to the society man that the lift has become very slow, do some work. Now, the next day on, no one complained. Next day on, everyone stopped coming and complaining. And one day, you can't repair a lift, by the way. So, what did these people do? They just put mirrors in the lift, all four directions. That's all. And whatever floor the person lived, 100th floor means better. Because they used to look at their face in the mirror. Everyone standing in the lift, looking at their faces in the mirror, so absorbed, looking at their own beautiful forms. They transcended time, you know. Otherwise they were coming and complaining, lift is very slow, itna time lagta, so much time to go. Can you imagine absorption? And most all of us can remember, or at least those who have kids can definitely vouch for it, that when kids go to play cricket in India, they leave at 8 in the morning during the vacation. Mother has to jabardasti say, breakfast khalo bete. But no, no. Still, something he'll eat. He'll go. And all day long in the hot summer season of India, he plays cricket. All day long, no eating, practically no drinking, just batting, right? And bowling. No eating, drinking, batting, bowling only, right? Only playing cricket. This guy transcends hunger. This guy transcends thirst. This guy transcends time. Someone has to come and tell me, 6 baj gaye shaam ke. No, ek aur ball. Last ball. 6 o'clock in the evening. Last ball. He transcends pain. The ball comes and hits him straight on his stomach and he gets a wound. And it's paining still. No, ek ball aur. You know? Imagine how absorption even in something so mundane and something so material, can help a person go beyond what he's going through, at least for a while. So if one is absorbed in Krishna, will one not be able to transcend?
Right.
All these miseries, these criticisms, these oppositions, these objections, these troubles, these difficulties, we are all affected by it because we are not sufficiently absorbed. And therefore the solution to transcend is avishta hoya Gita pade. Completely absorbed in reading the Gita, and therefore there was no question of paying any attention to what these brahmanas were saying. Keho hase keho ninde, taha nahi mane, avishta hoya Gita pade. Anandi Tamani. Kaviraj Goswami explains further what happened. So the third lesson is, absorption in Krishna helps us transcend difficulties in our life. Kaviraj Goswami goes on further to explain. Pulaka ashru kampasved yavata pathan dekhi mahaprabhur tushta hoilaman. Pulaka ashru kampa sveda yavat pathan. As he was reading the Gita, pulak, his hair was standing on end. Ashru, there were tears flowing down through his eyes. Kampa, he was trembling. Sveda, there was perspiration. Four of the ashtasatvik vikars are described by Kaviraj Goswami simply by reading the Gita. Pulak, you know, when we get Gita in our hand, we also have ashru. Na main Gita nahi pad sakte. Please, Prabhuji, please take the Gita away. Our hair also stands in end, on end, in fear. My God, the shlokas are too complicated. Action in action in action in action. Please keep it away. Right, and sved, perspiration. What is this? Like exam paper, you know? When you don't know the answers to the questions, boy starts perspiring. Sved and kampa. Not out of ecstasy, but out of anxiety. Stress, one of the symptoms of stress is kampa. So we also start kampa, trembling, seeing the Gita in our hands. The fourth lesson is, Gita is sufficient to give pure love of Godhead. The Bhagavad Gita, each syllable is sufficient to give pure ecstasy and love of Godhead. And the classic example, South Indian Brahmana. He was not reading hi-fi Radha Krishna Leela. He was not reading how Krishna was braiding the hair of Srimati Radharani. He was not reading Chandidas, Vidyapati, Jayadeva Goswami's Govinda Leela Amrita. He was not reading Lalita Madhav, Vidakta Madhav, Vilapa Kusumanjali. No. He was reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. Right. That time, the last word was not there, as it is, that's all. He was reading the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Result? Ecstasy. And therefore, there is no need to think that there is anything more. What Srila Prabhupada gave us is sufficient for us to go back to Godhead. What Srila Prabhupada gave us is sufficient for us to develop pure ecstasy like the South Indian Brahmana is exhibiting here. Right. Simply by reading the Gita. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, Ras Leela later, Kurukshetra Leela first. Why you want Ras Leela first, Kurukshetra Leela? And said, without Kurukshetra Leela, if you want Ras Leela, you are rascal. Very strong, Prabhupada was. Very strong. Someone came and asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, what is the difference between a tree in Golok Vrindavan and a gopi? Prabhupada said, for you both are the same, don't worry. From your point of view, tree, Kalpa Vriksha, gopi, gopa, sakha, sakhi, deer, peacock, everything same from your point of view. Don't bother about that now. You know how sometimes we can get into the trap of Swaroop, Siddhi, and what is Prabhupada in the spiritual world, and what is my Swarupa, and this intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna. Prabhupada never supported this. No, it's not wrong. But do we have the adhikar to read such stuff and speak such stuff? That is the question. In the early days of ISKCON, there was a GBC. No, governing body commission was there, but there was a parallel GBC going on in America called Gopi Bhav Club. And when Srila Prabhupada heard about it, he nipped the idea in the bud right then and there. Said, you don't bother about GBC, Gopi Bhav Club. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, our Swarup Siddhi Mantra is Trinadapi Suni Chena. Humbly chant the holy name. We don't need to know who we are and what Prabhupada is and what these leelas are. They are all good. They are all there. But we may not be ready yet. and then we will start offending the pastimes of the Lord. Krishna's flute, you know, has amazing. Krishna's flute has 8 notations. He plays the flute with 8 different notations. When he plays the first note on his flute, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, when they are meditating, their meditation breaks by the first note of Krishna's flute. And they forget everything what they are doing. Brahma, sitting on the lotus flower, becomes stunned and cannot move. Lord Shiva stops playing his damru and says, what will my damru do when this flute is being played? Everyone is totally stunned by the first note of Krishna's flute. When he starts playing the second note, Yamuna starts flowing backwards. Yamuna, which is going in a certain direction, she starts flowing backwards. When he starts playing the third note, the moon stops in its orbit, does not go any further. When the fourth note is played by Krishna, all the cows come around Krishna. They gather around Krishna with their ears raised in rapt attention to the sweet melodies of Krishna's flute. When the fifth note is played, the gopis listen to it and are attracted to Krishna. When the sixth note is played, autumn season is manifested in Vrindavan just by playing the flute. Any season, no matter. Autumn comes whenever Krishna plays the sixth note of his flute. It is at this time that Yamuna freezes and the stones melt. Mountains start melting and the beautiful colored minerals come and color the beautiful feet of Krishna because it melts and starts washing Krishna's feet. And Yamuna freezes and the birds who were drinking water in the Yamuna river, their beaks were still in the water. As soon as the sixth note is played, their beaks get stuck in the frozen Yamuna and they can't move the beaks out, and Krishna has to play another note. So Yamuna starts moving so birds can free their trapped beaks, you know. And when Krishna plays his seventh note on his flute, all the 6 seasons simultaneously manifest in Vrindavan. Amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine having summer, winter, spring, autumn and monsoon together? Oh my God. All 6 seasons simultaneously manifest in Brajdham. And when Krishna plays the 8th note of his flute, that is the time when he enchants the heart of Srimati Radharani. And therefore, Krishna is amazing. He is simply amazing. Simply by the touch of his lips to the flute, different notes, different results. But the same lips speak the Bhagavad Gita also. And therefore, one time one person came and said to me, you know, Prabhuji, I am hearing Krishna's flute in my heart. I said, first hear Bhagavad Gita. Then we will see flute later, you know. Flute by fluke may have come. Don't worry, relax. Listen to the Bhagavad Gita first, you know. And therefore, we have to understand this, that the Gita is sufficient to produce the highest ecstasy. Pulakashru skampa sved yavat pathan dekhi mahaprabhur tushta vilaman. Fourth lesson is, Gita is sufficient to bring ecstasy. Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, nectar of devotion and nectar of instruction. 4 books are enough. Of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada translated and all other Prabhupada's books. And then other books we read to get inspiration to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said 4 books are sufficient and enough. In fact, he said the first canto if you read will take you back to Godhead. Prabhupada said the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is sufficient to take one back to Godhead. And therefore, if we read Srila Prabhupada's books properly, we don't have to worry if the result will not come. Here is the parampara and history repeats itself. He will get the same result as the Brahmana got. What happened by this Brahmana's chanting of this verses is ecstasy. Dekhi Mahaprabhu, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this, tushta huilaman, he was very pleased. And therefore the fifth lesson is, there is no need to be an erudite scholar to please the Lord. Scholarship, Prabhupada explains in his purport, does not please the Lord. Scholarship is not a problem. If it can give us humility, scholarship is no problem. It can be used as an asset in service to the Lord. If that scholarship can lead to bhakti, there is no problem. The problem is, scholarship makes a person proud And scholarship makes a person hard-hearted, therefore there can't be bhakti. And therefore, Krishna consciousness movement is not meant to produce scholars. Krishna consciousness movement is meant to make devotees. And such devotees go back to Krishna. Such devotees attract the attention of Krishna. Here was this Brahmana who did not know how to speak big, big things. He didn't ashuddha padena, he was not even saying properly. But he was the one who attracted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many other Brahmanas were chanting verses. No, Mahaprabhu didn't go to them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this person, right, and said, Mahaprabhu puchila tare. Mahaprabhu asked him, Shuno Mahashay. Oh Mahashay, please listen to me. Kona artha jani? Kya artha jana hai tumne? Kona artha jani? Tomar eto sukha hoy. What meaning have you deciphered and understood from the verses that you are reading? Eto sukha hoy. That you are experiencing such divine ecstasy that there is pulaka, ashru, kampa, sveda as you are reading the Gita. What is it that you have understood? Kona artha jani? And therefore the sixth and the final lesson for today. Don't worry, I will take not more than 5 minutes. Otherwise everyone is thinking 2:35. What is happening, you know, late lecture. 5-8 minutes we will be done. Rewards is fast forward. Because rewards doesn't need so much elaboration. That is the result of all this. Rewards, we only have to hear what he got. And get faith that if we go on, we will also get it one day. Right. So, the last lesson, but not the least from this amazing story, is the reply of the South Indian Brahmana. When Mahapuru came and asked, Kona artha jani tomar eto sukha hoy? What have you understood that you are getting so much pleasure and ecstasy? Viprakahe murkhami. Viprakahe, the Brahman replied, murkhami. I am a murkha. I am a fool. What do I understand? Viprakahe murkhami. Shabdartha na jani. Shabdartha? You asked me kona artha jani. Sanskrit is not my language. Probably Tamil must have been his language. He was from Tamil Nadu. Right. Sanskrit is not my language, my dear Lord. Shabdartha na jani. I do not understand the meaning of the word. Okay, then you must be pronouncing it at least nicely, isn't it? Because if you don't understand, then pronunciation gives you ecstasy also sometimes. You know, like Brahmanas chant their mantras and you feel, oh, great, I did a good job today. Samjha nahi samjha chalega. Doesn't matter, at least I pronounced rightly. Shabdartha na jani, he didn't understand the meaning of the word. Shuddha, shuddha gita padi. I don't even know how to pronounce it rightly, my dear Lord. Then why are you doing it? If you don't understand what it is, if you don't know how to read it rightly, then why are you doing it? Because if we start reading and we don't understand something, we keep the book down. Well, a storybook konsa achha hai? Purna Pragya Prabhu's, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita condensed, or Adi Leela, anyone who picks up Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita keeps it down after 5 verses. Oh my God, such complicated philosophy. Shabdartha, if we don't understand, we are not inspired to read. And what to speak if we can't even pronounce properly what the words are there? What is the inspiration? Mahaprabhu asked him, what is your inspiration? Why are you reading then? If you don't understand anything, if you can't recite it properly, what is the reason why are you reading it? Shuddha Shuddha Gita Padi Guru Agyamani. I am only reading it because my spiritual master has instructed me that I must read the Bhagavad Gita daily. There is no other reason. I don't know what's happening with the Gita. I have no understanding of its words. I have no understanding of how to say it rightly. But I have only one understanding. I am doing it because Guru Agya Mani. And Srila Prabhupada's purport is so amazing. Where Srila Prabhupada gives the comment on this particular verse and says, Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yatha Deve Tatha Guru Tasyaite Kathitaha Hyartaha Prakashante Mahatmana. I believe this verse is from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, if I am not wrong. Yes, it is. It's in the purport. And in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, all these complicated topics are explained. And at the end, this verse comes and says, anyone, yasya, anyone who has implicit faith in Deve, Krishna, but equal amount of faith in Gurav, tasya, to him. Ete kathitaha, all the things that are kathitaha in this book, all the things explained in this book, tasya ete kathita, arthaha, the meaning of it, prakashante, it will be revealed to him within the heart. And therefore, the key to success in Krishna consciousness is here in the story. We need not bother how Hare Krishna is working at us or not. Of course, we come here, read, and it convinces us. But slowly, gradually, we all have to come to the stage where we can have that faith that yes, I am doing it because the spiritual master is telling me to do it. We don't worry about anything. Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds, we'll chant 16 rounds. Prabhupada said, follow the four regulative principles, we'll follow the four regulative principles. And we are not even doing it blindly. We have discussed it, we have read it, we know it is right. And if we just learn how to do what Srila Prabhupada taught and what our respective spiritual masters in the ISKCON Guru Varga teach us, then success is assured. Guru Agya Mani. And now comes the last section, about 3-4 minutes, of the rewards that this Brahmana got from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Brahmana said, Mahaprabhu said, why are you crying? He said, when I turn each page of the Gita, what do I see? Arjunera rathe krishna hoye rajudhar vasya che hate totra shamala sundar. I see in every page of the Gita, I see Krishna, shamala sundar, that boy with the blackish blue complexion, Arjuna rathera rajudhari, holding the reins of the chariot of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The purpose of reading Gita is to see one day Krishna face to face. And this Brahman, simply by reading the Gita, in every page of the Gita, he was having darshan. When we see ink, we see Sanskrit words. Kya hai ye bada bada likha hai? Kuch samajh mein nahi aa raha. Every page as the Brahmana would turn, all he was seeing was Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Amazing, isn't it? The power of surrendering to the orders of the spiritual master, seeing Krishna in the pages of the Gita. Reward number 2. Prabhu kohe Gita paath tumai adhikar tumi se jana hoye Gita arthasar. I say that you are the one who has understood the Gita. Imagine if the author of the book comes and says, you are the only student in the world who has understood what my book is. What better certificate we need? Krishna, who is the speaker of the Gita, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certifying that you are the one who has understood the essence of the Gita. Reward number 2. Reward number 3. Eto boli vipriya koila alingan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the South Indian Brahmana. Prabhu pada dhori vipra korena rodan. And the Brahmana caught the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, started weeping. Reward number 4 was that Krishna spurte taraman hoya che nirmal ata eva prabhur tattva janila sakal. Because his heart was purified in touch with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could understand the tattva of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He understood this is not simply a sannyasi, this is Krishna. How many people in India understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, even Maharaj Prataprudra asked Sarvam Bhattacharya, who is this Swamiji? You know, this Brahmana understood Tattva Janila Sakal. He understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. Reward number 4. Reward number 5. Tabe Mahaprabhu tare korila shikshan, ehi bata kahana koriho prakashan. For 4 months, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu daily taught this Brahmana. Imagine hearing a lecture for 4 months daily from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Karaila Shakshan, personal disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, got lessons from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And reward number 6. Sei Vipra Mahaprabhu bada bhakta hoila, chari maati Prabhu sanga kabuna chadila. For 4 months, he got the non-stop intimate association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply by paying attention to the orders of the spiritual master. And the Srila Prabhupada used to say, one need not bother about anything else. Understand the books nicely and try to serve the instructions and the personality of the bona fide spiritual master, and everything else follows this most key foundational principle of Krishna consciousness. To summarize, we discuss 6 lessons and 6 rewards from this amazing story of the South Indian Brahmana. The first lesson we discussed was that the purpose of Devalaya is glorification of Krishna and service to Krishna. The second lesson we discussed was, as soon as we take to Krishna consciousness, there is upahas. And, you know, pronunciation is not important, of course. There will be upahas, objection, opposition, criticism, laughter, joking, mockery. It will come. The third thing we discussed was how to transcend this. Avishta hoya gita pade anandita. Because of absorption, taha nahi mane. Keho hase, keho ninde, taha nahi mane. He didn't bother. Absorption helps us transcend difficulty around us. The fourth lesson that we discussed was Gita, even the words of the Gita are sufficient to produce the highest ecstasy. Pulak, ashru, kampa, sved, javat, pathan. Fifth, erudite scholarship is not required to please the Lord. Tabe, taha, anandita hoila, mahaprabhurman. Lord Chaitanya was very happy to see this Brahmana, although he was not pronouncing rightly and was not a big scholar of the Gita. Fifth lesson. Sixth lesson is the Brahmana taught. Why was he reading? He did not understand practically what he was reading. Not able to pronounce rightly, but because the spiritual master ordered him, he was doing it. And the 6 rewards that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him. Number 1, he was seeing Krishna in every page of the Gita. Number 2, second reward, certified that you are the one who understood the essence of the Gita. Reward number 3, he was embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Reward number 4, he understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna, not just a sannyasi. Reward number 5, he was personally taught for 4 months by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And reward number 6, he got the intimate associations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sei Brahman bada bhakta hoila, it is said by Kaviraj Goswami. Became a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, we see from this very beautiful small story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can understand very important cardinal lessons for our own Krishna consciousness. And our prayer is to all the devotees, they can bless us also, that we can learn how to serve our spiritual master properly and not commit any offenses, and, you know, be dedicated to serving the orders of the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari.